Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome to a new week, 1 week before Christmas.
Yeah.
This is Chuck Bonniewell. That is Julie Hayden. It's the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. And the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. You have an appointment on Thursday with Dr. Jack Schaefer, too. So
excellent.
Yep.
That'll be all ready for my Christmas shopping. I'll be go into the aisle.
Yeah, your Christmas shopping.
Oh, well, I finished it, but I've still got to do the, you know, the little
stocking
stuff.
Stuffers, yeah.
Stocking stuffers, as they say, yes.
At 3:30, we're going to have Ron Hanks on. Ron Hanks, former senator, former representative, ran for Senate. He's the chair of the Colorado GOP Ballot and Election Security Committee. He earlier put out a statement talking about election integrity. The rhinos freaked out about it, so he wrote a new letter explaining why the rhinos are freaking out about it. We'll have him on at 3:30. But first, we want to welcome Colonel John Mills with us. He's a cybersecurity and national security expert. We've had him on before. He has a great column up on his Substack. Colonel, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Hey, Chuck and Julie, great honor to be back on your show again.
All right. So we're going to talk about 702 reauthorization, which always happens, but everybody protests, and then boom, it's reauthorized. The FBI grossly abuses it. They announce new reforms, and the FBI has already instituted major reforms to stop the ones. And then, of course, it'll just be keep on going.
Same old, same old.
Yeah, we've been going through this for a number of years now, and I've been in the deliberations when we go through this, and it just happens every time. What happens is the capabilities, just when they're briefed to the either the policymakers or the actual legislators or their staff, it's just intoxicating. And as soon as they see the scope and scale and the immediacy of what can be had at with almost no effort, everybody just goes ooh and ah and loves it and says, yes, we definitely have to have that. And without bothering to really, do we really need it at this point in time with everything we're seeing on weaponization of government against the American people? So, I mean, Nakasone, I mean, he's now a 4-star, with him when he was a colonel, says, oh yeah, we definitely have to have this, but no, I'm sorry. It's just, there's too many abuses. It's just, we've got to just hit the reset button and say, okay, look, time for some adults in the room to say, no, this has been weaponized and it's time to kind of put the brakes on this.
But we saw, you know, was when they were doing some of the investigation into the fake Trump investigation, was it Mike Rogers, you know, discovered that like a huge percentage of the so-called searches into these databases and things were completely unauthorized. We saw the FISA court being lied to by the FBI.
The FISA court not really seemed to care all that much about is being lied to.
Right. And can you maybe explain to folks, because I mean, I was kind of shocked to realize, I mean, you see this kind of stuff in Tom Cruise movies or something like that, right? Where they, you know,
that's where we get most of our,
that's where I get most of my information, but where they show people being spied on, but it's really not that much of a science fiction, is it?
Well, it's just these capabilities have grown. I mean, this started in 2007 and, the intent and the good legal basis and foundation to protect Americans from the foreign extremist threat. But as it grew and grew and grew, it just became intoxicated. But this is also, this is the early days. This is when Susan Rice in 2016 was essentially doing the unmasking. And this really, and right, if you look at the genesis.
Why don't you explain unmasking, what that is?
Oh, that's where Susan Rice would want to know. And normally, when an American citizen comes up on these things, their identity is masked. But Susan Rice would and others would want to know, oh, who is that American who's talking to that foreign person? And that's when they, that's where they started going after the Trump campaign on this. You know, it's not a crime to talk to a foreign national. But suddenly, you know, but you can be collected upon as a foreign national. I mean, an American citizen has should have much more rights and privacy. But what they did was they just glibly unmasked and wanted to, oh, who are they? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, they're talking to who? Oh, really? But this is where you get Charles McGonigal, you know, who's now just been sentenced to 50 months in prison. You know, he's part of the intersection of this whole process. So, and McGonigal was the one feeding the interagency all the lies and the fabrications of, oh, here it is, election time, 2016, and it's Russia, Russia, Trump, Russia, 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 and it's Trump, Trump, Trump. Isn't that right. Interesting?
Right. So, well, and then you... Then you see, we're playing a soundbite from an FBI whistleblower the other day, and he was talking about what he called sort of circular investigations, and I would imagine that would come up, right? So they illegally spy on Americans and find out they're talking to somebody. So then the FBI can open up an intelligence investigation just based on that alone and start spying on that person some more and everyone that person's talking to. I mean, it seems like it's, well, and let me, I'm going to back up because with your cybersecurity expert, how much information, I mean, like I said, is it like in the science fiction movies where really somehow, somewhere my phone conversations are being monitored, or my texts are being monitored? I mean, how much information can they get on any one of us if they put their mind to it?
Well, I just would say it's the year 2023. The nation states have very strong capabilities. Organized nation states have very strong capabilities. I'll just leave it at that. So you just need to be aware and be you know, if a organized nation state wants access to something, they're probably going to get it one way or another. So, but you should always follow good basic cyber hygiene on your home network. That'll keep out kind of the riffraff.
Well, what would be good hygiene? Give us some good things for good hygiene. How do we brush our teeth on the internet?
Yeah, well, it's pretty basic stuff. I mean, this will take care of about 95% plus of the problem is you use two-factor authentication. Make sure you have some kind of program. It's always spear phishing through email. I got one the other day, very sophisticated. So spear phishing. And then the third one is the insider threat. That's the trusted or untrusted insider who gives away your information. It's the witting or the unwitting insider. So if your kids give away your password to your router, you know, that's the insider giving away your password. So you take care of those three basics, you're going to take care of 95% of the problem.
What about, though, you know, when we talk about like AI? So if you're the government, right, and I get that you don't want to get into too much detail about what they can and can't do, but with AI and the ability to get algorithms and gather, as AI does, this massive amount of data and then sort of do predictive kind of things, how do you see that playing in to the sort of like the deep state's ability to basically spy on American citizens?
Well, I mean, like cyber, AI is really made out to be a real mysterious boogeyman. It's not that. I mean, you could argue that we've had AI for a while, but what the three components of AI are basically big data, data stored and collected on a mass scale, which, you know, Google does that on a mass scale. The next one is the ability to sort and analyze that data. So big data analytics. Now the third part, and this is what makes things different, and this is what is the ability to action data on a large scale without human oversight. So that's what really makes it different nowadays. You got huge amounts of data, the lightning speed analytics, and now it's actioning. And that's where you put in the algorithm. I want the outcome to be this. I want to steer people this direction. You know, and especially when it comes to weapon systems and the Chinese and things like that, that's, you know, I want you, if this and this is true, I want you to launch the missile, you know, things like that.
That's bad.
There you go. Launch the missile. Well, I mean, it's a practical matter. You know, we're not the only country that can do all this spying. So the FBI just goes to Australia or somebody else, or Australia comes to them. You say you want to see all this stuff on Trump, sure. You know, we didn't do it. You know, we didn't, gather it. But, you know, anybody can gather it. And so they always have kind of abilities to work around the system. Just because we prohibit it, that's not going to slow the pigs down, is it?
Well, this is where we need absolute transparency and accountability at all time. And we've really lost that. And we need to regain it. You know, because there used to be, I think, much more... I would say regimented, disciplined process to make sure that the right things were done in these, and privacy and civil liberty was addressed and respected. But it really kind of went out the window, and I think it was just. I think as it became a game in the swamp, I think that's the challenge. Is you started to see more and more. And especially this is the problem with big tech. And in my second book, the War Against the Deep State, I talk about the fourth, fifth, and sixth branches of government, the administrative state, the unlawful marriage of big tech with federal law enforcement, federal intelligence, and then the out-of-control nonprofits that get great profit from government largesse, such as those that help in resettling all the illegals that are coming across the border. So that's where you saw federal law enforcement, federal intelligence really begin to blend together with big tech. And you saw a lot of movement back and forth where somebody would retire from intelligence, go into big tech, or somebody would take a leave for a few years, work in big tech, and then come back into the intelligence agencies. This is where it's really gotten bad. And there used to be a modicum of essentially standards and ethics and respect of the oath of office and constitution. And it just has kind of just gone out the window.
Yeah. No, well, I think we saw, and I don't know if it was maybe in a prior conversation with you, but or through the Twitter files or things, but information has come out. When you look at the number of like CIA agents and FBI agents who are employed at pretty high levels at Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, even currently at Twitter, and you're like, what do they need all the CIA people for? But it's exactly what you said. It's this revolving door industry. Do you think, you know, a lot has been talked about, Elon Musk has allowed a certain amount of free speech, although stuff still gets throttled. Is it possible to really get rid of that sort of deep state influence in big tech, or is it just so entrenched there that all you can do is be aware of it?
Well, we need a Congress that needs to start addressing this on scale, and we need to hold people accountable. But this is what's also crazy. Mudge Zatko had earlier this year, during the early days of the Twitter file release, had said, hey, we have known foreign intelligence working at Twitter and nobody cares. Apparently not even the federal government cared. And, so this is like, why? If the FBI was doing their job, they'd be all over that and stamping that out. But instead, everybody's like, "Yeah, so what? Who cares? Big deal." So we've got to hold people accountable, make an example out of the worst of the worst, and start to right the ship on this matter. But it takes Congress, it takes the right person in the White House, also.
Well, and when you say Congress, it's like there's not much hope, right? When they all just voted to reauthorize it, like you said. And talk about that a little bit more.
Well, let's talk about the reauthorization. So I understand It's a reauthorization for 4 months. Is that technically correct?
Yeah, this is one of the more shorter reauthorizations. So, I mean, I'm a Reagan guy. I'm always optimistic. I'm hoping that this time we have an honest dialogue. I think we will. I think this is a much better chance because this is a pretty short 4 months. You're going to blink your eye and we're there. But I don't think people are, you're going to get people like Matt Gaetz or because, they stuck it into the NDA just to get it through. And, this whole thing about we're sticking so many non-defense things into the NDAA. But again, that's Congress's discretion if they allow that to happen. In both sides, but the NDAA is not the only authorization act in the U.S. government. But for some reason, it seems to be the only. It's huge. This is where I have an exception to my own policy. Everything should be short. But the NDAA is a very rote. Anybody who deals with the NDAA can really rapidly go through it and sort and search and know exactly, get exactly to the exact paragraph. That's not the same as a 1,000-page healthcare bill that comes along that nobody's seen before and nobody will ever see again. That's a different animal. But, they stick things in the NDA because it's about the only piece of legislation that seems to be working.
Well, and I thought, wasn't there a promise that they weren't going to do that anymore, right? That we're going to vote on things? Well, I guess you're right. You said you're a Reagan guy. But I think going back to the first point you make and the point you make in your Substack column, and that is that, these people, they talk a great game and then they look at what they can do and they become just sort of their eyes glaze over and they're mesmerized by the power that they have. And I don't know why that.
We'll tell you all the things you want to know about your spouse. Don't worry about it. We can put that in there.
So I don't know. Do you think that they will? Well, first off, why is it that you think that happens? Because I think some of these people probably mean well. And why can't they stand up and say, this is insane that we have this much power. We shouldn't have this much power.
It's the tyranny of the narrative and all these meetings in the D.C. swamp inside the different departments and agencies and the interagency. It's the, we just need it. Why, bureaucrat? Why do you need it? Well, we look at all the things we can collect. Well, geez, we had all this power, and yet Hamas, launched a surprise attack on October 7th, and it turns out they've been planning this for well over a year since we ran Hightail out of Kabul. So how's all that $80 billion we're spending a year working out? I mean, on the ice.
Pretty well. It's going well.
Well, and perhaps it's because they're not paying attention to the important stuff, right? Because they're, like, as you've mentioned, in your book, The War Against the Deep State, it's all been weaponized, right? And I don't know, I worry that they're spending way more time looking at, grandmothers who might have gone into the rotunda on January 6th than they are at, Hamas people entering the United States illegally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the metric of effectiveness, everybody goes, we've got to have it. All the bureaucrats look at it. I've been in so many of these meetings over the years. All the bureaucrats, everybody just nods their head, yes, we got to do it. Okay. The metric of effectiveness is events like the Hamas attack. If we had such a great intelligence system, either why did we miss it, or was and that goes back to another Substack article, above or below the cut line. Was it above the cut line of priorities, or if it was below the cut line, why was something like that below the cut line of priorities? And it was above the cut line and we still missed it. Did we intentionally miss it? I mean, some people have immediately jumped to this, I was intentionally missed, and I am I'm not sure I buy that. But again, when you're spending $80 billion a year on something, you expect results.
Yeah.
Well, do you buy the one that the Hamas was lying to the Israelis? Said, we're too busy making money. We just, and the Israelis
I think they did. They,
okay. You're too busy making money. Okay. Yeah, good enough. Thank you. Yeah. We appreciate that. It must have been a little harder than that to fool the Israelis. Hey, we're making some money here, No problem.
It was a coordinated operational security plan that I think they were very effective at. And again, the Israelis had enough of the whole Gaza Strip. Hamas and the Gazan population said, hey, you know, we, you know, they had tried to do everything. And finally, they just, you remember, the Israelis withdrew out of the Gaza Strip, said, oh, we're just going to use robotics and AI to secure the border. Well, how did that work out?
Yeah.
And so there's that. And I think they did a very, and again, if you look at this, at a fingerprints of Iran, because it was all overseen by Iran, and Iran works for China. And when they saw us hightail it out of Kabul, they said, that's it. America's on the run. Let's plan the next one.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you something that's not exactly directly related to this, but it's kind of tangentially. I mean, right now, we've got this deal where we're not going to send Ukraine their billions and tens of billions in Israel until we work out an agreement on immigration. And we've got such immigration hawks as Barrasso and Schuster, McConnell, negotiating the one. And do, you know, are they going to come up with something that makes any bit of difference? They won't, because I don't think they will, because the Democrats are too smart. We'll give you the authority to do this and that. And they'll go, yeah, but we're not going to use the authority. So there, take it.
We need better fighters and negotiators on the Republican side. We need to be able to read the budget forensics. And this is one thing about the NDA that was good. We did essentially target NewsGuard and the Global Disinformation Index. We were able to, you know, put in a language that essentially, the Department of Defense could not participate in that. So that's good. We just need to get better at reading this legislation in detail. They get too many things by the blue team gets too many things by the red team. And the red team is gullible, ignorant, and just doesn't read close enough. And we got to. Every time they got to read every single line, and those young staffers, you know, they don't get another grape juice box until they go through and they find every single line where the blue team is trying to sneak something in.
Of course, the blue, you know, whether it's the NDA or the U.S. Constitution, you know, you can read through all you want, and people can, oh, yeah, well, I interpret it, the Second Amendment. It means we can seize all the guns. And so you're leaving it to the left to interpret. And so you're always going to, they're not only going to get it in there, but if they don't get it in there, they'll interpret it in there.
Well, they are relentless, and we make a lot of noise and blow a lot of hot air, and I got to be relentless, just like they are, right back at them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, Colonel, where can you see your book, War Against the Deep State? I mean, I've seen it. You can get it. It's on Amazon. It's all over, right?
So go waragainsthedeepstate.com, resolve to Amazon. You can get that. You can get book one, The Nation Will Follow. That's where I realized I had colleagues spying on candidate and President Trump. And then we got the arrest of McGonigal. He just got sentenced to 15 months in prison. But he was the one feeding us that. So you can get both books there. You can go to Lindell My Store if you want to get signed copies. So you can just go to Lindell My Store if you want.
Are you working on a third? Are you working on a third book?
I'm already in line for a third and a fourth book. It's going to be different topics on different directions, but these books are the book one and book two are very complementary here. Mm-hmm. First, my firsthand accounts fighting the deep state, and the second one, the origins of the mass surveillance system, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth branches of the government. It's all about, again, county involvement. You've got to get involved, and that's, you know, like you're out there in Colorado, you got to get involved, because Colorado has just been stolen behind people's back, and you got all this crazy drug legalization, which is a front for the Chinese, and the Chinese skim the money, and that's how they fund Antifa and the transgenders, because of all the high cash and cannabis operations that can't be banked because of the between cannabis and federal law. And I'm not saying any way cannabis should be, it's a gateway drug, bad idea. And I know some libertarians always go berserk, and no, come on, this is totally different. This is no longer simple pot. This is a tool to destroy a society.
I would agree. Yeah, and then if that doesn't work, they have fentanyl. Well, Colonel, thank you for your time. You've been great as always.
Yeah, appreciate it.
To look into and get your books.
Get your books, yeah, both of them.
And keep us posted on the progress. We'll have you on to talk about your new books too, please.
Too.
You got it. All right.
All right.
Thank you, Julie. Take care.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Colonel John Mills there, a war against the deepstate.com. He's got all kinds of great stuff on there. And again, you know, I'm just going to go out on a limb and predict that they'll reauthorize it again for another 4 months or something.
They're going to have reforms though, Julie.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They will insist upon reforms. And it doesn't even matter because the FBI has already institutionalized reforms to solve any of the problems, and you can trust them.
They need all the people to stop doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. It's the premier law enforcement agency. Dan Kaplan used to tell me. It's the premier.
All right, I see that we've got Ron. Hey, Ron, we're a little bit early.
Ron.
Are you ready? Come on.
Yeah, I'm glad I came early, but I'm wearing my work shirt, so I hope you'll forgive the grease stain. I was changing some wheels out, so
No, that's totally fine. That's okay. So you have another great letter out, and I got it and immediately said, Ron, can you come on our show? This all started a few weeks ago. You sent out a letter mentioning election, talking about election integrity and urging people that canvass board members not to certify on the 2023 election. And I'll let you get into that. Then the Rhino Clerk and Recorders or Clerk, a County Clerks Association freaked out and sent a totally Justin Grantham, I think, letter.
Yay, Justin Grantham.
All kinds of disinformation. And so then you wrote another letter,
basically
explaining why they're freaking out. And as I'm saying, why they're talking about you spreading lies and misinformation as opposed to fixing the problems in the election system that we all know are there, right?
Yeah, that's a great synopsis of it all, Julie. And again, thank you for the time. I did write a letter.
We have a request.
One second. Our producer says, can you turn your speakers down a tad? You're getting a little bit of audio feedback.
Yeah, I'm from a family of pretty deaf people, so I got them.
No,
is that any better?
Oh,
yeah,
way better.
That's better.
Okay, so go ahead.
I can barely hear you, so if I break out in a sweat, it's because I'm trying to hear what you're saying. But so I wrote a letter to our Canvas board members and said, I can't recommend that you certify this election. It's the same unsecure equipment that we had in 2020, and frankly had it before that. But based on what we know from 2020 and all the forensic work that's been done, nothing has changed. So the people ultimately should not have any more confidence in 2023 than they did 2020 or 2022. Now, maybe they didn't get in and play with the algorithms, but you know, it's an interesting question about there are people that will say, well, you know, conservatives won a race or two. But did we really? Because the Democrats have a supermajority. They called a special session. They got exactly what they wanted. It was not a gamble on their part at all. I mean, you know, and right now I'm not going to speculate, but I have that intel background where you have to process the different possibilities. And that's the way I looked at it. And then, of course, the County Clerks Association, you know, it's the ultimate insiders, traders, and, you know, union and association, and the executive directors and the board got a little torqued about some of the other things that we citizens have concerns about. And, you know, it gets a little tiresome being told that we're, you know, bullies. And the reality is the only threat I ever heard and challenge came from one of those clerks to a guy that I know very well that challenged him to come outside. We got the recording on it.
Wow.
We may drop that, but I mean, these guys are liars. And you know, the other thing I want to state though is we know there are good county clerks out there. There are honest county clerks that are nervous, and they're being kind of bullied by the County Clerks Association, the little insider group that has direct access to our dismal Griswold, the Secretary of State there. And it's an insider's game. And then they call us liars and grifters. And somebody's got to push back. I'm in the unique position where I can, and I'm glad to do it, because we need to have a sustained conversation about this. CCA, the Colorado County Clerks Association, doesn't want a sustained conversation. They want us to shut up. And I want them to try to make me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, look no further. Like you said, there are good county clerks out there. Look what happened to Tina Peters, right? It's like they've made it pretty clear what happens to you if you kind of raise any issues or any questions. Why don't you explain, too? Because I love the way you explain, because it is so true. You talk about people like Matt Crane, who was a former county clerk, whose wife works, I think, for Dominion.
She did.
Or did work for Dominion. I mean, you kind of explain the political elected office,
lobbyist,
consultant, money sort of revolving door. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Well, I equated it to what we saw during the COVID event. And that is simply that, you know, we watched doctors that once worked at NIH or CDC or FDA then float over to one of the vaccine makers and become a spokesman or a lobbyist. And it's pretty unsavory. And they act like, you know, they are the only experts in the room, but they've got a total monopoly on the chairs in the, you know, in the process. And you know, that's what the County Clerks Association seems to be to me, is little more than an opportunity to become then a run back consultant or a text to vote consultant, or, you know, I mean, and they go on nice little junkets paid for by the election technology industries. And oh, by the way, you know, the Clerks Association charges each clerk to be a member, but the clerks just pass it off to the taxpayers. We pay their annual dues, and some of these can be in the $1,000-$2,000 range, and that's just part of the operating budget for the county clerks. So, you know, we're paying for their union, and frankly, you know, I don't have a problem with people in private enterprise having unions or not. That's a decision for people, but the government should never have a union. And these associations come very, very close to being that. And they're certainly a monopolistic lobby.
Well, and you look at the George Soros money that's going into some of these things. You look at, you know, for instance, I was at, and I'll talk in a second a little bit more about it, but that the Adams County Republican meeting, you know, that was held last week, people were talking about election integrity. And one of the problems is they were talking about, well, you know, you can go and you can be an election judge and you can report it and you can do this. But who you're going to report it to? A Soros-funded clerk and recorder, or a Soros-funded elected district attorney, who then is going to turn to a Soros-funded Jenna Griswold. And so, you know, I think, like you said, this pushing back, it's got to start with us, because we can file all the complaints we want, but until we do things like, and that's why your letter is so great, until we call them out on it, it's not going to change.
Well, you know, we called them out and we've got more to say. So if they feel like, you know, getting into this tit for tat kind of argument with us, okay, it would be better to be talking about the unsecure and, you know, equipment that can never be recovered. Once, you know, here's one of the things that really bothers me, is they act like they know what they're talking about when it comes to cyber intrusion, and they don't. And I had time at National Security Agency, and I worked for Cyber Command. But let me just say, in spite of all of that, I am not an expert on it, but I know enough to listen to experts that I know no more than me. And the County Clerks Association don't even want to have that discussion. You know, there was a time where Matt Crane, the executive director, was lined up to debate Sean Smith, a colonel in the Air Force that did defense system security evaluations. He red-teamed and attacked our own systems. And it was all set up. This is a year and a half back. And at the last minute, Matt Crane chickened out. And he said, instead of going to the debate, he went to the media, had a little press conference, and he said, the time for debate is over. Well, I disagree. They don't know what they're talking about on cybersecurity. If you put a hard drive or a USB into a computer, it is forever lost in the national security world and Department of Defense. An outside USB totally quarantines that machine. And, you know, the other thing I don't think they know, and it's possibly useful, I think, to the audience is, you know, it isn't just a matter of classified systems. We had secret systems that you could not transfer material up to the top secret systems. And so I'm just saying there's processes, procedures of working with hardware and software, and they don't seem to have captured any of it in this course of the last 3 years, that if you hook it to the internet, you've lost control of your machine. And that's the bottom line. This stuff can never be secured at this
point. Have you had a chance to talk to the Colorado Democratic Secretary of State before Jenna Griswold?
Which one? Who was that?
I'm not sure I caught the question quite right, Chuck.
Yeah. Had a chance to talk to the prior Democratic Secretary of State before Jenna Griswold?
No, I have not.
That's probably because there's none alive.
The
last one who got elected was in 1959. They're all dead, right? Somehow.
Oh, you mean the last Republican one?
No, last Democratic one. Byron Anderson beat her in 1963, but she got elected in 59. So we've had like 30 years where the Republicans controlled the Secretary of State's office and have always just been useful tools of the Democrats. I mean, it's an amazing record of how the Democrats just know. I mean, they're all Pam Andersons, right? Danetta Davidson. I mean, just go down the list. It's just incredible. And so we controlled it for 35 years. Wayne Williams, Scott Gessler. And it's just amazing how the Democrats, you know, hey, let's take over the County Clerks Association and we'll turn it into a powerhouse. Great. Let's turn every Republican Secretary of State into a tool for the Democratic Party. I mean, it's just incredible. Now we can't even win those races.
Yeah. Well, you know something, Chuck? I mean, I kind of had an idea where you were headed with that once I heard the question. But the reality is I don't look at the R&D on these individuals anymore in that office because
they're all D's.
The R's seem to be pretty light duty and more interested in their next gig as a runback consultant or a mobile text to vote consultant.
The Tina Peters are rare and far between. I mean, the most of them, you know, they get if it's a Republican county, they get a sham Republican to win it. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, on the other hand, though, I did put at the end of my letter that there are good county clerks out there. And I think many of them are being run roughshod over by an executive board of the Colorado County Clerks Association that they really would not stand up and support, except that they're in such a small minority that they end up shutting up. It's not an easy job for some of these people that I think would like to push back against the tyranny of their little lobby and the Secretary of State's office. But how do these clerks do it if they don't have somebody looking out for them in their own?
They go to jail. Really, what happens to them? Associated. They go to jail, like Tina Peters.
Yeah, well, and back to talking about, you know, the cybersecurity. Aren't I correct? And wasn't there actually a federal agency, CISA or something like that, that actually it said, this is the federal government said, these Dominion machines are not secure, 100% secure, right?
Yeah, they did, and you know the other ones too. Anything that's built in China, and the majority of our electronics are nowadays, and by the way, our pharmaceuticals, and you know, think about that. China now is is determining if you're how pure your heart medicine is. But any hardware that's built in China, you cannot secure in a national security sense of the word. And of course, they have built-in modems. A lot of these are Dell laptops. Oh, by the way, you knew this, but you know, the lies are pervasive. These things, these laptops and this equipment is ordered with internet connectivity capability. Right. I mean, our state, you can see the order sheets, the build sheets. I'm sure they've been taken down, but people have archived them where they have built-in modems on the board. So, I mean, I would commend to everybody to watch Phil Waldron's Your Wake Up Call. It's called. It's on my letter too. I put a reference to several. But Phil Waldron was a colonel in the Army that worked cyber issues, and he put out a 24-minute video, and it's worth watching. And if for nothing else, just the amusement of watching Kamala Harris as a senator talking about how she watched the systems get hacked in a matter of minutes while they were standing there. And then we have this argument with people like, well, that never happened. Well, I mean, it's disingenuous of a lobby like the Colorado County Clerks Association to not even look at this stuff. And, you know, God bless the clerks because they've got some bad representation. They get taken on some nice little junkets, but, you know, they don't have anybody looking out for them. They have somebody stepping on their neck over the top of them.
Right. Yeah, well, that's this letter is great. And then one thing too, and just a few more questions. I mean, we didn't even yet get into the whole corrupt and bloated voter roll stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, I was reading the Federalist had a great column
on
the ERIC system that, you know, which is a Soros funded original thing where basically it requires the Secretary of State to give them all kinds of information. I mean, and people are never removed. Anybody, you know, the motor voter law, right? I mean, like we saw in the last election, what Jenna Griswold had sent out 30,000 postcards to non-citizens telling them how to vote. And then she's like, oops, oh, my bad. But we don't know that they ever vote or not. I mean, you have that and the ridiculous things. I know Daniel Bellefontaine, the Adams County chair, was mentioning, I was unaware of this. He said, you know, you have, and there are questions about the whole signature identification and verification process. But he said, if you put an, he was an election judge, and he was saying, if you put an X, then there is no signature verification, and it's just the witness. But there's nothing that verifies the witness, nor is there anything that looks to see, okay, we've got 1,000 ballots here, all with X's, and holy cow, Julie Bonnywell, you know, was the signature or was the witness on all of them. I mean, there's so many loopholes that I'm sure the good county clerks could say, here, I've got this idea, this idea, this idea.
Well, they won't let them.
Well, they won't let them, right?
Well, right. And, you know, that signature verification is a bit of a false idol in my estimation when you realize that, you know, they don't have the training, they don't have the equipment to even look at it or the time to look at these signatures with the scrutiny that they require. But if you had, for instance, magnification, you can see whether or not these things were written by hand or printed. Uh-huh. And of course, it has a, you know, a kind of a rheostat on the how the system is going to evaluate these signatures. And it's pretty easy to set it to zero and just have them shooting through at, you know, 80 miles an hour. So it's a bit of a it's a facade to me. You brought up a couple other things that I can't remember anymore. But
well, just Eric. Well, they never purge it, yeah. Right? They don't compare. Again, this Daniel Bellefontaine was talking about as an election judge. A guy came in and he basically had received 4 ballots, all of them with variations of his name. Right. Yeah. And send the you know, all sent to the same ad. I mean, there's no, and I mean, that's intentional that there's no attempt to verify. There's no attempt to purge. There's no attempt to, you know, remove people who aren't citizens, even though they got their driver's license or went to the motor vehicle department. I want to ask you, like you've been saying, there was nobody standing up for the good clerks. Have you, I'm assuming and hoping, heard from some saying, keep it up, keep it up?
Yeah. Well, I've heard from other clerks. I mean, the executive board of the County Clerks Association seems offended. I don't bother dealing with them. It's not worth my time. There are smarter, better clerks out there. And we've had conversations, and we've also had, you know, if it wasn't a conversation with me, it's one that's with a, you know, other channels. And so, you know, again, I think one of the problems with the County Clerks Association is they are building a wall between the constituents and the clerks. And they are, the County Clerks Association is exploiting that conflict that they've generated. We need to get back and start communicating with our clerks, Republican or Democrat. In many respects, I don't think it matters. There have been some Democrats that have been gracious and helpful throughout this state. They probably don't want to be named because of the threat.
If a clerk did, a Republican clerk did set up a very stringent system, all he would be doing is throwing out Republican votes. You know, because it's a Republican county, and the Democratic counties go, oh yeah, set it on zero, baby, set it on zero and let it roll.
Well, you know, when I was in the legislature, the 73rd General Assembly, what are we in now, the 74th, I put in an omnibus bill on election reform. And one of the things I wanted to get rid of was Eric. And one of the reasons I wanted to is I have no confidence in the government having all of the information that they have on us. And then they let it just slide on over to some little interest and group and entity that political parties are affiliated with, more Democrat than Republican. And I don't trust their data. I don't trust their intent with it. And we need to simplify this. And one of the things I would recommend we do is we zero out the voter rolls and start over again. I mean, these things are bloated. We know they're bloated. Judicial Watch won a settlement against the Secretary of State. Yeah. And let's go one step further. Zero them out, and we'll show up with a passport. And, hey, while we've shown up with a passport, we'll vote in person.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, there's that. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, it's great. You're in a committee are really doing something, you know. When you get somebody who can do things as head of a committee, they do things.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I'm grateful to Dave Williams. He's given all of his chairs latitude. You know, this is not us going out on just a wild hair chase or out on a limb. I mean, we are balanced. Dave is a great commander. I'm proud to be a member of his staff. It kind of reminds me of being in the military. And I'm grateful to Dave Williams for letting us explore
this. Chair of my own committee. I am grateful to him, too. Yeah.
Oh, and then he just gets attacked all the time for spreading lies and disinformation, too.
And misinformation.
Well, I just want to say, I have talked to a lot of people that have come back to the party because of the leadership of the party that we've had since March. Yeah. They've seen the difference, and, you know, we're moving the needle, and I'm grateful.
Well, let me ask you one political question. Were you shocked and surprised when Senator Bob Gardner and Senator Larry Liston, two of our finest politicians in the Republican Party, have decided to endorse Jeff Hurd
over
Lauren Boebert?
No, but the good news is, you know, people don't listen to Larry Liston. A lot of people kind of try to avoid Larry Liston. So, Amazing. He's going to have to chase after him with his grand endorsement here. No. I wasn't surprised, but I don't think it's consequential at this point.
No.
But it's just all of them, Bill Owens and Hank Brown and all of them, all just showing their colors.
No one cares. Yeah. Hey, Ron, listen, thank you for the work you're doing. Keep us posted as you get new stuff out there, okay?
Okay, everything starts in earnest in January. I mean, Iowa caucus is what, 15 January? So
23rd.
We'll have a weather forecast here pretty soon.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
All right. Merry Christmas to you too. Thank you, Ron. Ron Hanks there. Yes. Hey, and for the folks who are with us on Zoom, Ped Cage with her MyColoradoGOP.org has been posting a couple of things. She has the debate that wasn't.
No, but it's an important thing. That Tina Peters is a new lawsuit.
Has a new lawsuit. She's doing all of that. So, and Leo said great guests, both great guests. They were. We get the best guests. We're lucky.
We get the best guests.
But our guests are
because they love us.
And then they love our listeners. So, but thank you to Ron for doing that.
He's done a great job. And it really does show you, a committee can be worthless and most committees are worthless, but you get a guy who's really wants to go places as far as that committee goes and they really can get
Do some work. So that'll wrap it up for us on this
is Monday.
Wednesday, we're going to have Mark Poff on. He's got all kinds of stuff to talk about. And who knows, we're still kind of awaiting the Colorado Supreme Court decision on Trump.
They're taking their time.
They're at holiday parties now. I'm not kidding. Hey, thank you.
Segregated holiday parties like in Boston.
Yeah, really. Hey, thank you to everybody on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all of our shows at ChuckandJulie.com. Again, thanks to Thomas and the great guys at BBS. We will see everybody on Wednesday.
Take care.